This is Doc Mike, the Redneck Dentist, here on Real Liberty Media. I invite you to join me listening to other shows here on Real Liberty Media, shows such as Behind the Woodshed with Hal Anthony, evolutionarily engaging in counter-propaganda tactics and related work. We have It's All Connected with Grimner and Circle. They connect all the dots. The subject doesn't matter. The connections are real and tangible. Free your mind with Grimner and Moose Girl. You can break from thought constraints on the scope of your vision only by realizing those limits that have been presented to you do not apply to you. They are not real. Those concepts make people feel comfortable by giving them thought boundaries. This is the Free Your Mind Show with Moose Girl and Grimner. Sit back and listen and see your way beyond the world as it has been defined. A Ponder Gander with Ben E. To think and reason, raising expectations through thought-provoking episodes. If you cannot do great things, do small things in a great way. Grimner broadcasts a Sunday Blues show live on Sundays from noon to 3 p.m. Eastern. He plays all kinds of blues, from great oldies like Robert Johnson, Howlin' Wolf, and John Lee Hooker, to the most modern hard-rocking blues from Joe Bonamassa, Papa Chubby, and Samantha Fish. And all of this stuff between, like Stevie Ray Vaughan, Jack Bock Project, and Gary Moore. He also plays blues music from classic rock bands, the Rolling Stones, ZZ Top, Cream, etc. And while he is playing the music, we are in the Real Liberty Media chat, playing a rousing game of trivia. So come on over and join us every Sunday for some great tunes, fun trivia, and great chat. There's also a Top 10 Countdown where Gary L. and Gigi's Boo play the top 10 songs from years gone by, and they provide some interesting historical facts and trivia about the songs and the era. These are all great shows with great content and inspiring messages. Come spend some time with us. Get to know us, and we will get to know you. Also, if you love what you hear and want to represent, we have Real Liberty Media gear. You will love the artwork, and it will inspire conversation. Check out our Amazon store and Real Liberty Media goods from our website, reallibertymedia.com. This is Doc Mike, the Redneck Dentist. Welcome to the show. Great to be here. Kind of life is getting back to normal around here. I hope everybody else is having kind of a normal life too. And I hope nobody is being threatened by, you know, horrific storms, fires, earthquakes, government, anything else. I have a bunch of stuff to share as per usual. You know, I never know. I hope that there's kind of a fair mix of kind of my personal stuff and, you know, newsworthy items or things that at least I think are newsworthy. To me, it's all fun, but I'm going to run through some of the personal things going on in my life right now because, man, I really started making some changes here in the last week. I think after the heat wave, the well pump failure, the power going out, and a septic system, I think I decided it's time to get moving on some stuff. So one of the things is I finally found a rear passenger quarter panel for the 79 Chevy pickup that I'm restoring. Now, this Chevy pickup, I kind of talked about it before, I'm sure. I bought it from a mechanic who worked where I worked, and I bought it a long time ago, 15 years ago or something like that. Yeah, I know, another heat wave coming, great. Anyway, and this Chevy pickup, put a brand new crate engine in it. I put headers on it. I put pipes on it, new transmission, So mechanically, it's all good. It's just a two-wheel drive, but kind of a classic. And I'm not really a Chevy guy, but this happened to be a really nice rig. And it's old C10. They call it a short bed. It doesn't have the step side. It's just a straight, you know, straight bed pickup. Real nice, though. And I had the seat reupholstered. My son-in-law crashed it. So it's been in disrepair literally for years. I'll bet 4 years that thing's been sitting in my implement building. I do keep it running because we use it to gas gophers. I think I talked about that before too. But anyway, I finally found a quarter panel for it. Thing was expensive too. It was, and I know there's probably easier ways. I've been looking for a used pickup part bed. It seems like everybody wants to sell the whole truck, not just part of it, even if they're crappy, you know, in crappy condition. But I bought a brand new piece, and the shipping on it, never mind, it was expensive, let's just say. But I'm excited that it's going to be coming, and we're going to get I'm going to get busy putting that thing back together and, you know, have the body real nice to match the mechanics that are in it. And then maybe, you know, I might show it, you know, in some of these street shows. It won't be, it's not going to be fantastic. It's just going to be kind of a little bit stock. I'll probably lift it a little bit because back in the day, that's what we did. We lifted, we didn't lower. Even though I've seen a bajillion of these trucks lowered and they look awesome, I'm kind of going for that classic, you know, back in the day look. And, you know, it's right around the era. I mean, I graduated high school in 76 and it's a 79. So it's kind of back in that era. And it won't be a big lift, just a little lift, but it'll be awesome. And then I'm going to paint it green and gold, you know, Packers colors and Oregon Duck colors. And besides, that's how I had the seat redone. It's green and gold. It's beautiful, really. So I'm looking forward to doing that. The other things, of course, I've been playing SnowRunner. If you guys are gamers, you ought to check this game out. It's the slowest game you'll ever be addicted to. I'm not kidding. This is the craziest thing, but also really fun. And the... wasn't born until the end of 76. Oh my gosh, I know. Yeah, I have a daughter that's turning 42 on Monday. I have a daughter that's turning 42 on Monday. Holy crap. Yeah. Anyway, been playing with the RCs. I'm going to spring this trick on a grandson here pretty quick because I ordered an RC car. He has one. A little one. He has a 1/18 scale, and I have a 2/110 scale and 1/124 scale. And I've been putting some extra stuff on that 1/24 scale just to play a trick on him and show him how much better it is. You know, these things can always backfire on you, but I think I got this one in the bag. I, you know, put upgraded motor, upgraded links, upgraded servo, upgraded springs, upgraded tires, wheels. I put weight on it to get the center of gravity real low. It'd be pretty funny to see how he, you know, responds to my little cheap RC car being pretty awesome. But anyway, that's going to be fun. And let me see. Oh, I got to tell you, some stuff really started irritating me this week. I don't know how many of you guys are sports fans, but, you know, I've been a sports fan all my life, different sports that I've really enjoyed my entire life. Football being one, racing being one. Haven't really been a big basketball or baseball fan until the last few years, but, you know, been following teams that I really enjoy. But I got to tell you, like even redneck NASCAR today, it just had to piss me off. You know, I always said if terrorists really wanted to start a war with the United States, all they'd have to do, and I really shouldn't say this because it'll tip them off, all they have to do is have some terror attack on a NASCAR race. That would kind of be the end of it right there, because just because all hell would break loose. Just because it's just the nature of, you know, NASCAR and the kind of history of where NASCAR comes from. You know, the old bootleggers running White Lightning between counties and stuff. There's a good reason why I think if terrorists attacked a NASCAR event, you would kind of see a totally different response than what we normally see to terror attacks. But today, of course, they had to get on the bandwagon. So here's the bandwagon today. And this is the Xfinity series, which is kind of the junior high or the junior varsity, I call it. It's guys who are learning to race the fast cars to move up into the Cup Series. The Cup Series drivers race on Sunday. But here's the name of today's NASCAR race. It's called the Am Better Get Vaccinated 200. And I was like, really? Really? Why did you have to do that? Like, when NASCAR was sitting around, like looking at who's going to sponsor this event or be the main sponsor of this event so their name goes on the race, why did they settle on the get vaccinated one? I mean, I would think that, like, NASCAR, and I guess maybe this is my own bias, because I kind of associate NASCAR with rednecks. I don't know why. I mean, I consider myself sort of a redneck. I mean, I'm the redneck dentist. So, yeah, I consider myself a redneck. And you would think, like, you would have, you know, Anheuser-Busch or, you know, Michelob, Miller, Schlitz, I don't know, some Jack Daniel, who knows, some of these other more appropriate sponsors to sponsor a race. But no, it's the Am Better. I don't even know who that is. AMBETTER. Am Better. Get Vaccinated 200. And why? Like I think to myself, probably, I bet most NASCAR fans are probably anti-vaxxers. Now, I'm probably wrong about that, too. It's probably some, you know, conclusion I came to that's just not accurate. I don't know. Like, I don't know if they made the drivers get vaccinated. I don't know if they made the pit crew teams get vaccinated, in order to have their events and have them kind of getting back to normal. But, man, it just seems like the wrong kind of sponsor to have for a NASCAR event. And the wrong message, too. You know, kind of, you'd think, just think about the history of NASCAR and, like, running, you know, bootlegged alcohol back in the day. Kind of basically anti-government stuff going on, right? And yet here they are with this pro-government message, which I have a lot to talk about that today. Because there's so much wrong with the jab. There's so much wrong with this vaccine. There's so much wrong with the government trying to force people to get vaccinated and going door to door to make people get vaccinated or to have you admit whether you are or aren't vaccinated. I mean, talk about violating HIPAA rules. Jesus. And why do we even have rules if we're just going to throw them out the window? Kind of makes me think of this real ID thing. I mean, why are we having a real ID thing? It seems like one of the arguments that one of the political factions has is that, you know, some people, some, you know, poor, oppressed, or minority individuals or groups of people are unable to get an ID. So why even encourage this whole real ID thing? I mean, if people can't get an ID to go vote or to drive a car or to fly from one point to another, why are we kind of forcing them to get this real ID? And does it make any sense? I mean, going back to my, you know, weekly argument about hypocrisies, here's another one. You know, the argument is, well, it's unfair to make, poor oppressed minorities get an ID so they can vote. But hey, well, we need you to get a real ID. And of course, now we're going to want that real ID to have your vaccination status on it, your jab status on it. Doesn't make any sense to me. The hypocrisy never stops. For sure. So, and then again, going back to the whole sports thing, I've been in this position for a few years. I remember a few years ago, I happened to be a Packers fan. It really doesn't matter what team you love. If you love it and you're a sports fan, I love you for it. I love the NFL. No, let's say I used to love the NFL, and I love people that were, you know, Raiders fans or Patriots fans or whatever kind of fan. I didn't even care. I just loved that people loved the sport. And then, you know, every year at the beginning of the year, you have such high hopes for your team, whatever team it is. And then, like, your star player gets, like, crippled in the first, maybe sometimes even in preseason or early in the season. And you're like, there we go. We're done. Like Aaron Rodgers broke his collarbone, 4 years ago? Like, early in the season, we're like, oh, God. Oh, and I can't remember that quarterback's name that filled in for him, but he was horrible. Like, the worst quarterback I've ever seen play professional football. And God, I wish I could think of his name right now, but I just can't. But it was just like a laughable season every game watching the Packers trying to play with this horrific quarterback. Oh, Huntley. Yeah, Huntley. And now he's playing for somebody else, which it was really hard to believe. But anyway, so the NFL this week maybe pushed me over the edge. It may have done it. I'm still contemplating it. I hate to make rash decisions about stuff that I really feel strongly about, like the NFL. Really love the NFL. And, I mean, there's something else. Like, there's something to be said for being a fan for so long, like your entire life being a fan. Like, I've never missed an Indianapolis 500 race. I'm not really an IndyCar fan, but I've never missed an IndyCar race. Never in my life have I missed one. And but the NFL, maybe they did it this week. So they announced, I don't know, a couple days ago, 2 days ago, that before every game, the NFL is going to play the Black National Anthem. Now, forgive me for being so damn ignorant, but I had no idea that there was a Black National Anthem. I really had no idea. Turns out it's, I don't even know. I don't even know what it is. I didn't even look into it that far. But I can tell you, I was thinking to myself, okay, so a few years ago when the athletes were kneeling during the National Anthem, I was like, man, this is crap. Yeah, I don't know, Grimner. I was thinking, you know, this is crap. If those guys want to make some political statement, they should do it on their own time. Not during the game, not when I'm, you know, trying to, you know, have some relief from everything else going on in the world and just kick back and watch a game. Nope, now it's politicized. I didn't care about their message one way or the other. I still don't. I think, you know, I'm probably an idiot for saying this. I think if you want to play the sport, play the sport. It's like being an actor or an actress. Be an actor or an actress. Don't open your mouth about global warming or global politics or global anything because you sound stupid. Just don't do it. Same with sports, man. Play the sport. Give me a show. I don't care about your political aspirations one way or the other. I don't care about your political beliefs one way or the other. I'm here to watch a freaking football game or Indy 500 or a NASCAR race, and I don't want to be preached to while I'm watching it. I want the entertainment. Yeah, exactly. I'm a racist. Probably hateful one, too. I was thinking about that today. I was like, man, I can't be a racist because I kind of hate everybody equally. You know, until I've gotten to know you a little bit at least, and then I probably have a reason to hate you or not. I'm sort of kidding about that. But, yeah, sports, man. It's just, you know, and I was thinking about this myself. Before the show today, sometime earlier today. Drink time. Everybody, drink up. This round's on me. Anyway, I was thinking about this earlier today. And I was thinking, you know, here's the problem. If you're in the public eye, if you're one of these businesses that's, you know, I guess, famous or well-known or popular, successful, you know, whatever, you almost have to play the game, which is really sad. You know, the people who don't play the game, they're all kind of moving to platforms that don't need social media's approval, which is kind of weird because until everybody moves onto those platforms, they're gonna, I don't know how much money people make on that. I know Joe Rogan makes a ton of money, but he's, I think, still on YouTube. But, you know, these people who are controversial, you know, who get fake news off of social media, they're still out there. They're still spreading the message. It's just on different platforms. Speaking of which, man, Clyde Lewis and Ground Zero this past week, that dude has been like on fire, off the hook, like so passionate about the things he's been talking about. It has really been awesome and in some ways sort of frightening. Guy is a great guy, and you can catch that show here on Real Liberty Media also. If you're not listening somewhere else, catch it here. It's a great place to hang out. But, yeah, people are moving to different platforms. And, of course, I heard the federal government, what's that, Psaki's name, press secretary, said if you're banned on one platform, you should be banned on all of them. I mean, is this not the government pretty much overstepping its bounds, you know, to ban people wherever they go? Silence the other side, no matter if it's true or not, no matter if the fake news of last year becomes fact this year, doesn't matter. We want to silence those people. Pretty sad, the state of affairs. But, you know, the nice thing is you don't have to participate in that. You know, the nice thing is you can have your life. You can live your life. Maybe it's going to come and affect you. Like I think of myself here on this piece of property and the age I'm at. I mean, I might live 30 more years. I seriously doubt it. But let's just say for the foreseeable future, I don't see too much of that stuff coming and affecting me directly. Yeah, probably some stuff will, like this ridiculous reduction in power supply that we're going through by shutting down hydro plants that produce energy, natural gas plants that produce energy, coal fire plants that produce energy. Hey, I was listening to a guy this week who said, and I wish I had this number correct in my mind. I know it was 500,000, but I can't remember it, if it was cubic feet or pounds or what. But let's say, what would be the least? Let's say pounds. He said it takes 500,000 pounds of mining to get the minerals needed to produce one battery. Like the batteries that you need to store this fancy power from wind turbines and solar panels in. Because you need so much mineral in each of those batteries. I got to go back and find that number for sure. Find out exactly what it was. Because it sounded like, in fact, it was one of those, it was not a podcast, it was a live show, but it was being streamed so I could actually go back and listen to it. But I was kind of busy, so I couldn't sit there and listen. I had to back up for a minute and then let it play. I was sure I didn't hear that number correctly, because you imagine how many frickin' batteries we're going to need for this very expensive power we're going to be producing to run cars and power our houses and whatnot. There's no way. I can't wait till the greenies get a hold of this information and actually figure out how much of the earth will be destroyed to make their clean energy, wind power and solar power batteries and cars that run on batteries. I did want to kind of talk about one other thing. You know, I did some drone video before. Speaking of batteries, I did some drone video before, and then all of a sudden I kind of had this issue of my drone battery. My drone Wi-Fi wouldn't connect to my phone while I was flying, which isn't a big deal. It's not like it affects the control of the drone, but it just, like, if I wanted to, let's say I took off, and I flew to a spot and I wanted to videotape and I hit the record button, it wouldn't start recording right away. Or it would start recording and then it would lose connection with the drone. So then it wouldn't record for however many minutes until it connected again. And then it was a big hassle. But then I remembered that there's a micro SD card slot for it. So I put the micro SD card in it, and then it records the whole time I'm flying, which is awesome. And I'll have some new video up probably on Rumble later. I don't know. I'm going to edit tonight and tomorrow. It'll be up sometime this week, and you guys can see the area of the property that got cleared. But anyway, I was kind of glad to have to figure that out, because it kind of sucked. I was really enjoying flying a drone and getting some videos. And then my wife asked me the other day, she goes, you know what? She goes, you should fly the drone in the implement building and the barns and up and around them, because it's fire season and we haven't ever kind of recorded for insurance purposes what all is in there. And actually, it made a really good basic, inventory of what's in the implement building, like my tractor and the Chevy pickup, side by side, quad, lawnmower, blah, 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 whatever's in there. Anyway, so the drone will be back up and running. Get some drone videos up. I don't know if you guys like them or not, but it's just kind of fun, I think, to put them up. All right, let's move on to this. Oh, I do have a kind of a cool dental story I ran into. And this is, this was in West Africa. They found skulls from a culture 500 years ago, And those skulls had teeth removed, the front teeth removed. But what's interesting, but what's interesting about this is the teeth were removed when the people were alive. So they were removed for a reason, either like aesthetics, like people thought they looked better without those front teeth. It could be like a status symbol without those four front teeth, you know. But they said that the skulls that they found also were, there was other art. Well, number one, they knew that the teeth were removed while the people were alive because the sockets where the teeth had been removed were healed. And so there was a reason for removing those teeth. It was done on purpose. It was done while people were alive. It wasn't like, only those four teeth had some kind of disease, which was pretty rare, I think, back then, because people didn't consume so much sugar or whatever you want to attribute to, you know, decay back in the day, or dental disease, I should say, because decay is kind of more recent development since we started consuming so much sugar. But anyway, so they knew that the sockets had healed. So these extractions were done during, you know, person's live time, and the sockets healed and whatever. But anyway, I thought it was kind of interesting. Also interesting about this story is that those skulls or skeletons were found very deep underground in a cave, which is kind of interesting because, like, I don't think people, you know, yeah, we used to, I guess, be cavemen, but I don't think people generally loved living in caves. I think we used caves for shelter at some point and then, you know, moved out onto the plains or forest, jungle, whatever. Gotta quench the thirst. But anyway, and a lot of cultures actually have done some kind of, they call it dental mutilization, which I think is kind of interesting. And I guess, yeah, it is dental mutilization. But, you know, some cultures have used like chipping teeth to a point or filing them to a point, you know, as some kind of beautification or aesthetic improvement in their eyes. And, you know, it's not unusual. I just thought this was interesting because it was extraction and it was these certain four teeth, the two center teeth on the top front and the ones right beside it. So the four upper front teeth removed. And, you know, being a redneck dentist, once in a while I got to throw in a dental story here or there once in a while. So that's it. So I wanted to get to this about the jab because, of course, everybody, you heard the government calling the anti-vaxxers the ones who are responsible for all the deaths. You know, that the anti-vaxxers are the ones killing people. And then I just saw something in the chat earlier about how some Texas Democrats who were fully vaccinated tested positive for COVID. So we know this is all not true, but I bet if you bring it up, it'll be considered fake news and you'll be, you know, written off some social media platform. Thank God we don't have to worry about that here on Real Liberty Media, as far as I know. I know, dirty, unvaxxed scum. Those bastards. But anyway, so this was a crazy story. There's a new report. The vast majority of those now dying with COVID are people who were vaccinated against it. And I'm going to give you some stats here, or at least the pertinent stats. The Public Health England, which is some kind of journal or newspaper, just released a new report showing that at least 62% of all deaths associated with the Wuhan coronavirus, COVID-19, are occurring in people who were already, quote, vaccinated. Fresh data out of the UK, and of course it's not happening here in the United States, it's only in the UK, right? Fresh data out of the UK shows that injected people are three times more likely to die from the so-called Delta variant than people who left their immune system and DNA alone by just saying no. This sudden spike in new cases directly coincides with the UK's vaccine push, showing that more people are getting vaccinated the higher the rate of infections. The data clearly shows that a mere 10% of all new alleged confirmed cases of the Chinese virus within this age group are unvaccinated people. Upwards of 37% of new cases are in people who got both of their injections in obedience to the government. 37%. Another 40% of cases, it is important to note, occurred in people who received at least one dose of the Chinese virus injection at least 21 days prior to testing positive. This means that 77% of new Wuhan flu cases are occurring in people who had either one or both doses of the injection. Right? So I wanted to move to this next story because I think this is awesome. I wish everybody knew these things. So this is, it's called the New Nuremberg Trials 2021. A team of over 1,000 lawyers and over 10,000 medical experts led by Dr. Rainer Fuhlmich have begun legal proceedings against the CDC, the WHO, and the Davos Group for Crimes Against Humanity. Fuhlmich and his team present the faulty PCR test and the order for doctors to label any comorbidity death as a COVID death as fraud. The PCR test was never designed to detect pathogens and is 100% faulty at 35 cycles. This alone invalidates over 90% of the alleged COVID cases. So just imagine, over 90% of what the world has said are COVID infections can be invalidated just based on this test. In addition, the flawed tests and fraudulent death certificates, the experimental vaccine itself is in violation of Article 32 of the Geneva Convention. Under Article 32 of the 1949 Geneva Convention, mutilization and medical or scientific experiments mutilization and medical or scientific experiments not necessitated by the medical treatment of a protected person are prohibited. According to Article 147, conducting biological experiments on protected persons is a grave breach of the convention. The experimental vaccine is in violation of all 10 of the Nuremberg Codes, which carry the death penalty for those who seek to violate these international laws. It's kind of funny that, you know, international, the World Health Organization kind of, you know, has been the cheerleader of all of this that's going on. Good, maybe we can get rid of them finally. Oh God, I can only hope. So the, quote, vaccine fails to meet the following five requirements. So this is the important part. So here are the five requirements needed to be met to be considered a vaccine and is by definition a medical experiment and trial. So it fails these five things. It fails to provide immunity to the virus. It fails to protect recipients from getting the virus. It fails to reduce deaths from the virus infection. It fails to reduce circulation of the virus, and it fails to reduce transmission of the virus. So the jab fails every single trial that's required in order for this vaccine not to be considered experimental. The funny thing is, I think, the government literally says, we know this is an emergency, whatever, you know, emergency approval for emergency use. And totally ignore these five requirements. And by ignoring these five requirements. At the very least, these five requirements violate the Geneva Convention and actually have abused, violated, and otherwise, you know, harmed the entire population of the world, you know, with the lockdowns, with the fake news, with the, you know, inaccurate count of actual COVID cases. And who knows why? I mean, I think eventually we're going to see that this was a huge conspiracy, a huge global conspiracy. But we won't find that out if they continue to destroy the truth on the popular social media platforms. If they continue to hide the truth, if they continue to censor people. And it's kind of crazy. You know, here's the thing that I think that one political party forgets, and they both, whatever political party is kind of in charge making the rules at the time, they forget that someday the tide is going to turn. Someday another political party is going to be in charge. And then the rules you made when you were the political party, they're going to be used against you, more than likely. So, but right now, I mean, we're in full censorship mode. You know, the federal government just out there, you know, calling anti-vaxxers the murderers. They're the ones who are causing this huge spike in, you know, the Delta variant, and the Lambda variant is showing up, and, you know, all the new deaths are because of you anti-vaxxers. But we will see the truth at some point. The truth will come out. The truth is out there. People are speaking the truth, but you have to look hard to find it. You can't be on these, you know, you can't be on the, you know, the three big social media platforms and get the truth, because it's taken down faster than goes up. A couple months ago, you know, I actually went and tested something because it was such an obvious case of here's the truth. You know, you need to see the truth. And hell, is the second I hit enter, it said that the material I was trying to put up on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter was considered, you know, conspiracy theory or considered fake news. I know, Rob Works, you're right. You are right. It is my mistake for considering that there are actually two sides, and there are not. And sorry to get distracted from what I was saying, but Rob Works is right. The whole political spectrum, I mean, you couldn't invest better money in your life than to become a politician, because it'd make you rich in a hurry, and you don't have to give a crap about anybody. I mean, you almost automatically get reelected, you know, unless you do something really stupid. But you're right. Anyway, back to it. You know, being banned on those social media platforms, not getting the truth from those social media platforms, and now actually the federal government wanting you banned from every platform if you are banned from one. Well, hell, you know, they're working with, you know, some of these private companies, you know, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and basically they are the police now. They're the ones who are deciding what is fake news and what is not. And they're the ones who are deciding whether you should be banned or not. And they're the ones doing the banning. And they're just working for the politicians. Oh, man, this show has gone by so fast. I wanted to share something with you on a little more personal level. Oh, so much to talk about. My God. Okay, and this is what I wanted to talk with you about. It's about compassion. And the reason is because I had a thing in the last week that went, I'm going to tell you what happened. I was driving to town. It's 15 miles. About halfway to town, there's a dead dog on the side of the road who had a collar and a tag, and he was a mess. There was a time in my life, not so long ago, that my heart would have kind of broken, that my heart would have felt pain for the dog and for the dog's owners. And for a moment, I mean, I saw the dog, and I mean, there was a time in my life when I would have pulled over, you know, and gathered up the parts and got it off the freaking road. It was on the shoulder. It was a mess. I'm telling you, it was horrible. But for whatever reason, like that first response that I had in my brain was, like, I had some compassion for the dog. I'll tell you. I couldn't understand why this dog, it was kind of out in the middle of nowhere. I'm like, how in the hell did this dog with a collar and a tag end up out here, you know, smashed, busted up in the, I don't know how many pieces. But that's not the first response I had. The first response I had was, what effing idiot let their dog out here on this highway to get killed? You know, and there was a time when I was much more compassionate for people I didn't even know. And yeah, I think I still have this passion, compassion for people in my life that I know or somewhat know. But man, my reactions to people, 8 people were shot in Portland last night. Do I give a shit? No, I don't. I honestly don't. I just think to myself, hey, you live in Portland. You voted for the crap you're going through. You probably deserve to get shot. And that's just not true. You know, or my other thought is, hey, you're out at 2 o'clock in the morning screwing around, doing whatever. Yeah, you know, you kind of increase your chances of being shot. Instead of having compassion for people, whatever their plight is, there's a guy sitting on the sidewalk in Sheridan here. I pass him every day this week and last weekend. And I saw him roll up in his car. It's an older car, you know. It's running. He takes a chair out, sets it up against the, there's a railing that runs along the street there. And he sets his lawn chair out there, and he has this box of tools, I think it says on it. It says tools, $1. It says homeless vet. You know, need some help. And he's sitting there, like every day. And I think about stopping, you know, and I mean, literally, he's sitting there. He's not going to the store. He's not drunk. He's not doing drugs. He's not doing anything. He's just sitting there in this chair. A friend of mine once told me, you know, if I'm your last resort, that means you've burned every other bridge in your life. I thought it was an interesting take. Maybe I'm trying to use that to justify my current lack of compassion for fellow human beings right now. But I just noticed about this dog, like I hate seeing animals, domestic animals, that I know had owners killed on the side of the road. And there used to be a time when I reacted differently. And I'm not 100% sure now why I feel differently. And hopefully I'm going to change it. And yeah, we had a thing recently, you know, happen in Real Liberty Media with somebody that I cared for. I don't really even know, but I could help out. And yeah, there's people in my life that I still feel some compassion for. But it's really different these days. Like, I think we all kind of hate each other in a way. Or, you know, like, I always think people are just idiots now. And I can tell you, this even applies to my professional life. And I can tell, I've thought about this more recently as I get closer to the age where, well, the age and the position where I could retire. And I think, you know, this is, here's two possibilities the way I see my career ending. One is I decide at some point that I'm done for whatever reason. I either can't see as well, my hands aren't as steady, I'm not thinking as clearly as I have in the past, or for whatever reason, I just decide it's time for me to step aside. That's one possibility. I mean, there's 100 bajillion other possibilities, like, you know, I lose my arm in a table saw accident, or, get in a head-on collision, or, you know, hit by a beer truck, who knows what. Yeah, there's all kinds of other reasons I could leave, but I'm talking about kind of voluntarily ending my career as a dentist. And one of the things I've thought about more in the last year than any other time in my life or in my professional life is, one of these days I'm going to be sitting at the chair, patient's going to sit down, and they're just going to say that one completely stupid thing that I just think to myself, yep, today's the day. Yeah, I just get up and leave. And just like, okay, I'm not coming back. It's been great. You guys take it easy. I'm out. I could see that happening. And it kind of goes back to the same thing, man. I remember, I know. I can tell you, I'm going to tell you guys kind of a funny story. I might have told you this before, but better have a drink first. Got to wet the whistle for this one. Oh, that's so good. Sweet tea. Okay. So way back when, I was in the public health service, and I had the opportunity to go to the Northern Cheyenne Indian Reservation and be their dentist. And initially I was like so excited that I was going to go be on the Northern Cheyenne Indian Reservation and be their dentist. And I was like, this is so cool. Like, I'm going to go be with Native Americans. I'm going to be on a reservation. I get to help them, you know, like, you know, if they have dental disease, I'm going to be able to fix it, or, you know, I'm going to be able to get them out of pain, or, you know, I'm going to be seeing children, and we're going to be able to make them healthy, and, you know, have their, you know, get, have them keep their teeth their entire lives. And I had this whole romantic thing going. As a matter of fact, I even think Dances with Wolves was right around that time with, Kevin Costner. Wasn't that Kevin Costner in Dances with Wolves? Could be. Anyway, so I had this whole romantic idea about, you know, what that was going to, I have to laugh because it's so hilarious. You know, your preconceived notion about the way things are going to be and the way they actually are when they're strikingly different, like day and night. So I went and became the chief dental officer of the Northern Cheyenne Indian Reservation in Lame Deer, Montana. And it was kind of awesome. I had two dentists that worked under me. I had a hygienist. I had, I don't know, 6 or 8, 9 dental assistants. It was awesome. And it was in a hospital setting. So there was an ER, and there were ORs, and there was a pharmacy, and there was psychology and shrinks and pediatric. There was everything. It was, yeah, Lame Deer, I know. It's lame deer. It's in southeast Montana, kind of close to Broadus and Coal Strip. So, so I'll tell you, I don't think I was there like 2 weeks. And one of the Native Americans, I hear him in the hallway, and he is just screaming, like yelling at the hospital administrator, who was this really nice woman, Native American, local, you know, to the area, been there a long time. And I hear him yelling at this hospital services administrator, and I go out in the hallway to see what's going on, you know, because I always have kind of reacted like, oh, maybe somebody needs help, or I don't want somebody to be abused in front of me, so I'll step out here and see what's going on. And the guy is yelling, and he turns and he points in my direction. And he says something about, you know, these effing Europeans. And when he pointed in my direction, I looked behind me. I swear to God, I was looking for one of these Europeans he was talking about. And when he got done yelling at the hospital services administrator and he kind of stormed out, I went up to her and I go, what was that all about? And she goes, oh, that was about you. She goes, you're the effing European that has come here, you know, and caused whatever problem I caused. I don't know, because I wasn't Native American or I didn't understand their culture. Who knows what was the problem at that time, but it was just kind of hilarious that, you know, going into it, I had this very romantic idea about being compassionate for these Native Americans and going and spending this time there and hopefully providing some awesome care. And basically, they hated me. I mean, they still came to me for care, you know, and I think there was kind of, you know, this part of the population was like, oh, he's a white guy, he'll be here and he'll be gone, they'll send us another one. And then there were some that were just flat hateful, you know, hated the white man. I don't blame them really, knowing what I know now, but I just was kind of telling you that story because it's so different than what I kind of expected. And kind of getting back to the compassion thing. Sometimes it's hard, man. Sometimes you just have it kind of beaten out of you. And I don't know if it's been the past 15, 20, 25 years of politics and horse crap, but in some ways I've lost so much compassion that I had for people in general. And maybe it's a good thing, maybe not. I don't know. You know, I still look out for people somewhat, but I'm certainly not nearly as compassionate as I have been in the past. You know, sometimes I think, well, maybe it's a protective thing. Maybe it's a way that I keep from experiencing, you know, negative outcomes. Although, you know, I'm one of those people who, if I give you money or I help you out, I don't expect anything in return. And I think that's the best way to avoid feeling like you're jilted in one way or another. But anyway, I just wanted to share that with you guys. Man, that was a fast hour. At least it was for me. I look forward to seeing you guys again. Great time in the chat room tomorrow. I hope we're back to normal schedule on RLM, Real Liberty Media. And I look forward to seeing you guys always in the chat and listening online. Thanks for listening to me and joining me this weekend. I'll see you guys probably next week, maybe Tuesday. Who knows? I don't know. I think if I put that Tuesday thing on the schedule as an actual show, I would do it because I have tons of stuff I didn't even get to today. Anyway, love you guys. See you later. There's that compassion part again. Thanks. Bye.